to our three talks given here, we came to the conclusion that man body is the highest in all creation. It is a golden opportunity we have got, because in this man body alone we can know God. And to know God, we have to know ourselves first. Because God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, by the mind or intellect, with intellect you only try to grasp certain things. It is the soul alone that can know the old soul, because soul is of the same essence as that of God. God is all consciousness, and our soul is a drop of the ocean of all consciousness. So first, to know God, we will have to know ourselves first. Like knows the like. But unfortunately, our soul is environed by mind and outgoing faculties. Our soul is under the control of mind. Mind is under the control of the outgoing faculties. And outgoing faculties are dragged like anything by the outer enjoyments. So, all Master said that we should know ourselves first. Know thyself. East and West makes no matter, you see. Those who have known God, they say the same thing. But to know ourselves, we will have to know it not at the level of feelings or drawing inferences, but by self-analysis, by rising above body consciousness. Outgoing faculties will have to be controlled, mind to be stilled, and intellect also to cease for a while after understanding what is what. Only then we can know ourselves. It is a matter of pure self-analysis, rising above body consciousness. To know God at the level of feelings or drawing inferences are subject to error, seeing is above all. And this practical experience of rising above body consciousness is had at the feet of some who rise above body consciousness daily. Saint Paul said, I die daily. Dying daily means what? As the soul leaves the body at the time of death, same process you have to undergo. Saint Plutarch tells us, those who are initiated into the mystery of the beyond, their soul has the same experience of leaving the body as it has at the time of death. At the time of death, you know, the outward expression of the soul is attention. Attention is withdrawn from all outside, and anybody goes to the man who is deathbed, he does not recognize him because his attention is withdrawn from all outside. Then the lower body is benumbed, lower chakras are broken. We come up to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes. When the eyes are upturned, so learn to die so that you may begin to. So, knowing oneself, as I told you, this experience or demonstration can be heard at the feet of somebody who rises daily. He also is competent to give you a demonstration of that. You see that you have risen, you are not the body, you see. So, this man body is a wonderful house we live in. In which there are so many apertures of the eyes, of the ears, of the nostrils, mouth and to underneath. We cannot run away out of it. We are controlled. So our body works so long as we are in the body. And we are in the body so long as we are controlled in the body by some higher power, which is according to the scriptures, they say it is the God into expression power called Nama, our world. So when that power is withdrawn, we have to leave the body. So rising above body consciousness by self-analysis gives you practically what is knowing oneself. When you know self, you see some. One is leaving the body, you see, when karmic link is broken, cellular cord, which is based on the reactions of the past, is broken, such a soul never returns. But if you know to rise above body consciousness while alive, process is the same. But you then watch some power is controlling you. As I told you the other day, one atheist was at his deathbed. He had in his room a big motto, God is nowhere. A child came up and began to read. G-O-D God, I-S is, N-O-W now, H-E-R-E here, God is now here. And then that man dying said, yes, I did. Some power is there. So it is knowing oneself by self-analysis, it is just rising above body consciousness. When you know that power which is controlling us now in the body, that becomes apparent. So all other practices in the man body alone, we can know God. And all the world is full of practices, you see, we do one way or the other, so many things. Those are only preparation for the ground. So those are good actions, of course, but to have some models before us, it is just to understand something. But to see that thing for which that model stands, that is something else. So the other day it was also explained that God is wordless, nameless, ashabda. When it came into being, into expression, that absolutely God wanted and wished to be many, there was vibration that resulted in two things, light and sound. God is light and God is music of the spheres, nada. So these are the two outward expressions of God into expression power, which is controlling the whole universe and also controls us in the body. So that can be contacted when we rise above body consciousness to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eye. So it is a practical question which can be demonstrated. And when you see for your own self what is what, then only you can be convinced, not before. At the same time, something more was explained to you. Man is afraid of dying for two reasons. One, we do not know how to leave the body. First, we are not accustomed to it. We are so much attached outside that we cannot dare to withdraw from outside. Sometimes we do wish to withdraw from outside, but we are so much identified with the outside things, even if we want to leave, we cannot leave. So, for that reason, you see, We have to withdraw from outside. If you know how to leave the body day to day, if you die daily, as St. Paul said, you take cross daily, cross thing, stand up, just going above. Then the death becomes a matter of joy, because all glory and beauty lies within you. Astral plane is more beautiful than the outer physical plane. Causal is still more, and happiness is still higher beauty and higher bliss. So once a man has an experience of that, he would like to go any time he could possibly go. Now as you are not in contact with that, mind is just given up to the outward enjoyments, but gives some little bliss. These are two things I put before the other. Now what we are doing? We have made models of the man body. So man body is the two temples in which we live, as also that power that controls us in the body. Whom we want to contact, and the one who wants to contact, both in the same body. But you cannot say, because our soul is under the control of mind, mind is the control of the outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are dragged like anything by the outside enjoyments, identified with the ourselves so much that you have forgotten ourselves. So you know how to rise daily? From body consciousness, there is no sting of death in it. Scriptures do tell us. Hindu scriptures tell us, when the soul leaves this physical body, man experiences pain like terrible pain, like a scorpion when bites anybody. Stung by a scorpion. In the beginning it's only just slight pinching, then that gives terrible pain. They compare to a 1,000 scorpions stinging together. Mohammedan scripture tell us, when soul leaves the body, it feels pain like that, as a thorny bush is taken to the rectum and drawn to the mouth. You see man dying, how terrible he feels sometimes, you see. So Master tells us, learn to die so that you may begin to live. All Masters said in their own language. And the other thing is, we do not know what is your face after leaving the body. But two things we don't dare. We are afraid of death. If we sit at the feet of somebody who can give us a demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness and a link of the God into expression power, which is light and sound, as I told you just now, that's the way back to absolute God. Direct way, no I participate in man. That's the natural yoga, you know. When mind gets that bliss, then naturally he would like to avoid outer enjoyments like anything. Now what we are doing, we have made the model of the man body outside, dome-shaped. All temples, Hindu temples. Nose has shapes, chest is like. Marks, forehead shape. They have put in two symbols of God into expression, there is light and sound. We go there, there is a model to show the such like light and such like sound is within you. So long they were practical people, they gave them experience, demonstration as to how to rise above body consciousness, have a contact with that light and sound which is the outward expression, aspect of the God into expression power. They were convinced. But for a amount of practical people, these things have become be all and end all. They were only martyred to show that such like light of God and sound principle is within you. For want of practically people, there was nobody to demonstrate the light within us, and we simply go to the churches and the mosques and the other things, light the candle there. And ring the bell there. Outer worship, they light the candles and receive. So you see, it is only, you see, following the models which went to show that such like that within you, and we had to rise our physical body and have a contact with the two light, with the two sound, which is reverberating within the man body in all creation. So those who have seen that They say body is the temple of God. Master said, man body is the true temple of God, in which the light of God shines. So we are so much given up for want of practical people. We engage from day to day in these outward models which are made to for the preparation of the ground, to let people understand what is what. When the Master meets us, he opens the single eye within us, third eye, single eye, whatever it is, Shivnesha it is called. So that light he sees for himself. Then you will find, you see, to leave the body is very easy, you see. Jaya, it is a matter of jaya. Kabir said, people are afraid of hearing the name of God, of death. I am very much overjoyed when I hear the name of death, because it is only then I can unite with the God overhead. So this I am explaining to you what I gave out in my previous two or three talks. I am now talking about Guru Amar Das, the third guru of the sixth. He was engaged in outward practices, models, all schools of thought for 70 long years. But naturally, you see, you are not satisfied. When you see a thing, then say, God is light. If you don't see a thing, God is light. You are not seeing the light of God. If you say, God is light, is it true? No. So Guru Amar Das, when after 70 long years, now can his heaven open to you, God made some arrangement to bring him in contact with the second Guru of the sixth. He got that experience of rising above body consciousness and opened the third or the single eye within to see the light of God, and he said, God is light. Then he says, I have spent 70 long years only engaged in the outward, in the methods which concern exotic side only. They are good actions, of course, because they are meant for God, but the doership is there, ego. Whatever you will sow, so shall you reap. You have good thoughts, you have good actions, results. You have bad thoughts, bad results. This coming and going, you will go where you are attached. This goes on like anything. But when you see that power is overhead, as I explained to you, that achievement, yes, my child, there is power overhead. That you only come to know if you now rise above body consciousness, you see for yourself power is control. When you see you have the experience of God, what God, not the absolute God. Absolute God, nobody seen God, absolute God, at any time. It is only a matter of before coming into expression. He was wordless, he was nameless. When it came into the world, it was called word, it was called nama, it was called shabda. So there are two aspects of word, thy lamp is unto. Word is a lamp unto my feet. By coming in contact with nama, you see the light comparing to hundreds and thousands of suns rising together. And in whomsoever that light is effulgent, truly speaking, he is a Sikh. One form, one outer label or the other, carrying, belonging to different schools of thought or social bodies, does not necessarily mean you have achieved that very object for which you have joined that school of thought. A true Sikh can become only when you see the light of God. Hindu is one who sees the light within. Krishna will see the light of God. Mohammedan will see the light of God. The same thing for all these. So long as we do not see, it is just like blindness work. Buddha Narsi said, God is light. When he sees that he is light and he is the controlling power keeping us and we are mere puppets in his hand, naturally that loses all ego. Because this is some higher power is good. So Guru Amar Das, when I saw that his head, without seeing him, say that you say his prayers, praise him, it is just like a blindness work. See and then say. All masters say. Unless you see your praising God is good, that for the good thought, for at least it is towards God, but your ego, your doership is not God. So naturally, as you sow, so shall you reap. When you see that part working, I am not working, you see, that you all lose, you lose your ego. So coming in contact with God into expression power. When you see that is the controlling power, that is keeping us in the body and his, we are mere puppets in his hand, naturally ego goes. That can be had only when you sit at the feet of some really adept, called by any name you like, who opens your inner eye, you see the light of God within you. So at that time he gave all his gist, or the digest of his teaching, what he gave in one, that I am going to present before you. By giving all this, in the previous 2,000, giving a summary here, he said, look here, where is God? He said, God lives in this very cave of the body. Cave is always long and dark, you see, this is a long cave. Don't think it is there. It is in the cave of the body, he does live. You see? In this, that God, who is never ending, you see, and who is above all outgoing faculties, that lives in it. Body is the temple of God, you see. Maulana Rumi tells us that our Prophet told us that God says, he says, I am so great that all this earth, sky and plains, higher and lower, all this creation is not sufficient to contain me in them. I am so great. But he says, strange enough that I abide in the heart of a devotee. And I mean everybody, I do that in every heart. Kabir says, I went to have a pilgrimage to the Makkah, Medina. Then on the way, God met me. He began to fight with me, saying, who told you I am here? I mean you. So we are, after finding him by going round from place to place, all master digest I'm giving you. I need not quote, there are hundreds of quotations there. They say, the whom you want to, he is in you. He is your controlling power. He also resides in the body. Body is the true temple of God. Outward models are made to give you some idea. Such like power is within you. So unless we see that power, we cannot lose ego. And so long the ego is not gone, we come round and round and round. So all masters say to us like that. He say, God resides within you, just like, take the case of mortar. The more you grind in water, the more red color it gets to me. As the fire is in the wood, by rubbing it, you get the fire. As butter is in the milk, but you cannot have direct, that should be changed to the curd, and curd should be shaken, and then the butter will come out of it. So such like God resides with you. He is just the teller. That God resides in a different sense. I'm only if you give me some instance. The God resides in the heart of everybody. But we do not see him. Why? He says, it is a sort of, you see, what the cataract, when it is, the cover comes to the pupil of the body, man does, cannot see. If that is moved carefully, then sight is restored. Similarly, when our attention is withdrawn from all outside, and just taken to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of eye, which is the tenth door in the body, which opens into the beyond, where you knock and shall be opened unto you. There are 10 doors in the body. So Guru Amar Das gives in all ways the expression how he got you and why people are going amiss. So first he says, to whom you want to continue, gravity resides in your man body, in atom. And that he is latent within you. You see? And all this outer expression is of only God into expression power. All this came out of him, then where that place where he is not. You see, in the air, there is nothing to be seen. Is there nothing in this air? There is, of course. When you see through a microscope, you see, that magnifies all things about 700 times more, then you see it is full of insects. They are there even now. Either those things are magnified to come up to our level, or our inner attention is so much materialized that we come to their level, you see. So there is God. Master said, they have seen this in this very main body. And those who have found it there, those who try to find him out in outward practices or observances, they will never get. That's good action, of course, they don't deny. Ego is there, doership is there. You have to sow, as you sow, so shall you reap. Good action will bring you good. Your coming and going will go round and round. You see? When you see that he is the worker, your ego is lost, naturally your coming and going is ended. This is what he said, you see. When you come to the feet of Master, he gives us a contact with that God into expression power, which is called Word, which is called Shabda, which is called Naam. Then you see for yourself God is there. But God absolute not, I tell you. God into expression power, the two aspects of which enlighten. You see the light of God, you see the music of the spheres. Now he thanks God, oh God, I thank you very much. I sacrifice myself to you. I've been long, 70 long years in such, can I thank to my Guru, at whose feet I got this experience. I sacrifice myself not one time, hundreds of times on the Master, you see, over the Master, who has made God manifest in me. So you see, we need teacher at every step, you see. Even the children need parents, brothers and sisters to teach them. In schools, we want teachers. In all outer aspects, all subjects that are related to the outgoing faculty, mind or intellect, we want guidance over them. And this subject, which is when you rise above body consciousness, you rise above outgoing faculty, don't you need anybody? You do need somebody, but why we are afraid of it? Because the world is full of teachers, excuse me, now I say. Christ also says, they come as wolves, but they are ravening wolves. They come as lambs, but they are ravening wolves. There's so much, I mean, acting, posing, going on, the people cannot decide which is what is what. And Master lay out one criterion for that. Unless you see yourself what the Master says, and you testify to it, don't believe the words of the Master. That's very a great criterion. This can differentiate from the right, wrong, right from the wrong. So he says, oh God, I'm thankful to my Guru, who has made that God into expression of power, after which I was 70 long years manifested. Thanks both in natural, the gratefulness on the heart. Now, what he said, he said, first thing is, that Naam, God into expression, which has got two aspects, when you come into contact with it, that gives you everlasting life. Amrit means the water of life which gives you everlasting life. You never die. Once you learn to die, you live forever.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The talk you just heard was the first half of Master's talk given in London, England, on September 17, 1972, and it was given the name Shabd or Word. Our reader this evening is Rick Casey. Hello, Rick.
Hello, David. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to read for you. I'm going to continue in the book God-Man, where I left off reading last time, which is page 119 in chapter 17, using the PDF version of God-Man on the Ruhani Satsang website. So, in the middle of the page, 119, it continues. Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Ishwar, Niranjan, and Parameshwar, incarnations of Brahma, are all worthy of our respect and adoration. We have read much about them religiously in sacred lore. They figure as heroes and heroines in mythological tales, but as such are nothing but figments of human imagination. When Satguru, or the Master of Truth, takes charge of a spirit at Gagan, he gradually reveals the true significance and way of each of them. All of them have existed since creation and are engaged in carrying on the duties assigned to each of them. But we cannot know them or their handiwork and authority unless the Satguru takes us along and shows us the nature of this mysterious hierarchy. God himself, in the garb of man, saints, and prophets, informs us of his own natural self. Guru Amar Das has therefore declared, "It is the basic principle of God that without a master of truth, no one can even think of him." Sant Kabir also tells us, "The master is greater than God." Ye may very well think over this dictum. Devotion to God keeps a person entangled on this side in the physical plane, but devotion to the Guru leads him across to God. The greatness of the Master lies in this, that he connects the souls with the unknown reality and puts a stop to the cycle of births and deaths. The Oversoul, even when with us, could neither manifest itself directly, nor could it take the soul out of the physical plane and liberate it. Only through instructions from a guru, master soul, or God-man, and association with Shabd, word or God in action, can one achieve these wondrous results. Without word, one can have no escape from bondage. Word personified is the Master, and he can manifest it in us. God may turn his back, and one may not mind, but if the Master does so, none can bring about reconciliation. Kabir. If Shiva gets estranged, the Master can reconcile us to him. But who can reconcile us to the Master? In this respect, Seho Bai, a lady devotee, sings to us in melodious strains of the greatness of her Master, Charan Das. I may give up God, but cannot for a moment forget the Master. For God himself cannot come up to him. God drove me into the wilderness of the world, but the Master has snapped for me the ceaseless cycle of transmigration. God set on my heels the five deadly sins: desire, anger, greed, infatuation, and egoism. But the Master, taking pity on my helplessness, saves me from them. God entangled me in the meshes of the family ties, but the Master has cut asunder these bonds. God delivered me to disease, decay, and death, but the Master, with his yogic powers, delivered me from them. God bound me hand and foot in the web of karmic reactions, but the Master revealed to me my true nature, and I have now found out that I am soul, the spirit of the universe. God in me hid himself behind a curtain, but the Master, with his torch of truth, revealed God to me. Again, God created both bondage and salvation, but the Master put an end to all these chimerical fantasies. I would sacrifice my very body and soul for Charan Das, my Master. I would rather surrender God for the Master's sake. Chapter 18, Gurudev, the astral or self-luminous form of the Master. The term Dev is derived from the Sanskrit root Div, meaning light. The words Guru Dev are therefore used to connote the astral or luminous form of the Master as he appears in astral regions after leaving the physical plane to guide the spirit as it transcends the physical body. Theosophical literature refers to the luster of master souls in subtle and causal planes extending for miles and miles. Tulsi Sahib likewise tells us that the nails of the guru's feet shine like mani, a crest jewel in the head of a toad that shines forth like a flashlight in darkness. This astral light bestows vision to the third eye. Blinding light flashes forth from the nails of the Master's feet and illumines the very soul of the devotee. Maulani Rumi speaks of it as the light of the Master dawns in the soul. One gets to know the secrets of both worlds. A real guru is the true manifestation of God. He is, in fact, Satguru or Master of Truth, and manifests in the world the light of truth. O Nanak, Guru is the Satguru. I would like to touch the feet of the Satguru. The term Guru Dev, therefore, signifies the self-luminous form of the Master, which is free from and far above his physical body, and which the spirit actually perceives with its inner subtle light. When the spirit comes face to face with the astral Master, all doubts vanish, and its labors get the crowning reward, the summum bonum of life. Gurudev gives vision to the eyes. All doubts become airy nothings, and love's labor receives its crowning glory. Jesus Christ in the Gospel speaks thus: if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Matthew 6:22. Guru Arjan tells us that the blessed form of the Master manifests itself in the forehead of a devotee. The blessed form of the Master is in my forehead. Whenever I peep within, I see him there. A Muslim divine also speaks like this. The image of the Beloved is in the mirror of my very heart. I see him with just a little turn of the head downward. It is this astral or self-luminous form of the Master that leads a spirit Godward through various planes intervening between the physical plane and Sat Lok, or the region of truth. There is no distinction between Guru and Guru Dev and Satguru and God. It is one and the same current of divine compassion that assumes different names at different regions. Following the law of similitude, the divine current, as it materializes on the physical plane for the benefit of all the aspirants, is called Guru, or Master, who, by word of mouth, imparts the spiritual instructions as any other teacher would do. As the spirit of an aspirant leaves the body and is ready for the journey in the astral or subtle planes, that very divine current assumes a subtle form for the soul's benefit and guidance. This subtle form, disengaged from the bodily form of the Guru, is termed Guru Dev. It is self-luminous and lustrous with light, extending over miles and miles. Satguru, or the Master of Truth, is the power of truth, or God, that works through both Guru and Guru Dev. With roots firmly embedded in Sat, or truth, he directly derives his inspiration from the eternal and unchangeable permanence, Sat. Hence, is known as Satguru. Thus we see how the Sat Dharma, or the current from Sat, flows down, creating regions upon regions far below, ending with the physical plane. It is this very current that also helps in taking the jivas back home and is differently known as Guru, Guru Dev, and Satguru at different places until the very roots of Sat are reached. And here the spirit cries out in wonder, Wahi Guru, which means, what a glory is thine, O Guru. Indescribable and beyond comprehension. So we have in Gurbani, Gurudev is Satguru, Parabrahm and Parameshwar. O Nanak, a salutation to Gurudev is salutation to Hari, or God. This very Sat, or truth, is at one with the Guru as he works on the physical plane. Hence it is said, blessed is the physical form of the Master, filled as it is to the brim with full power from above. The greatness of the Master is indescribable and beyond all comprehension, for he is Parabrahm, Parameshwar, beyond perception and knowledge. Gurudev can neither be known nor measured. By following the instructions, one can penetrate far into the mysteries of the past, the present, and the future. It is through his sheer grace that one begins to know something of the unknown and the unknowable. In the physical world, he works and acts like a guru or master But when a jiva, after some spiritual practice and discipline, is ready to leave the pinned or body and is about to enter on the subtle plane, the guru comes to his aid in subtle shining form as his gurudev. Here, he works as a connecting link between guru and satguru, for he takes over the charge of the spirit from the guru in the body and leads her across to satguru and satpurush. Gurudev meets and greets the spirit as it crosses the border lying between the physical and subtle regions by passing through the stars, the sun and the moon, spoken of in the Vedas as Devian and Pitrian margs, paths. This astral form is exactly like the physical form of the master, but much more beautiful, luminous, and magnetic. Maulani Rumi tells us, should you desire to see this refulgent light, turn homeward like Ibrahim. Pass through the big star and the sky and the blue beyond. Steadily walk over the sun and the moon, and then you will find yourself in the heavenly presence. Guru Nanak refers to this illuminated path thus, the luminous form of the master is wondrously enrapturing and enchanting. Only a perfect master can manifest this to a spirit. This lustrous form of the master always accompanies a spirit in the various planes, ending with Satchkhan, or the home of truth. When his luminous form descends to the focus of the eyes, a devotee has nothing more to strive for. Herein lies the devotion of the devotee. Half of his success has been achieved, and hereafter the master's astral form takes over the charge of the spirit with full responsibility for leading it to the final goal. Even the saints also adore this form and derive ecstatic delight from it. The blessed feet of the beloved Gurudev are worshipped by the saints, the beloved of God. Khwaja Moinuddin Chisti also talks of the luminous form of the master. O master, the sun cannot stand the resplendence of thy face. The moon also has covered herself with clouds to escape thy dazzling light. The sun, having borrowed his brilliance from the dust of thy feet, has pitched his golden pavilion on the blue sky. If a single ray of thy face were to shoot forth into the sky, the sun would in shame go behind a veil. In the very person of the Nabi prophet, the light of God has taken up a material form just as the light of the sun does in the body of the moon. Maulani Rumi also refers to the lustrous form of his master thus, what dost thou know of the King of Kings that keeps me company? Cast thou a glance within me, and be not deceived by my outer appearance. St. John has similarly described in the Bible his experience with the luminous form within. I was in the Spirit, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Revelation 1:10-12-16. After I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Revelation 4:1. In the Sar Bhakan of Swamiji Maharaj, we have a similar reference. Wondrous strange was the form, no words could this glory write. Hafiz, a mystical poet of great renown, tells us, Like the newborn moon, the pure of sight may see, his glory would not manifest to every eye. The astral form of the master soul is unchangeable and permanent. It is the form that guides aspirants to their goal. Gurudev is in the beginning of creation. He is in the beginning of each age and continues from age to age. Through Gurudev alone, one can reach Hari. Guru Arjan speaks of Gurudev. Salutations to Guru Eternal Har Rai. Salutations to Guru of the Age, Sat Purush or Ram Rai. Salutations to Sat Guru, the manifestation of Sat Purush. And salutations to Gurudev, the refulgent and self-luminous form of the Guru, the connecting link between Guru and Satguru, responsible for guiding and leading a spirit through various planes. Gurudev is the greatest and highest manifestation of Sat Purush. He is the controlling power of God and can grant salvation. By devotion to him, one gets all comfort. Nothing but Sat is Gurudev. False is all worship apart from this. Guru Arjan, in his memorable words, sings the greatness of Gurudev thus. Gurudeva is father. Gurudeva is mother. And he is the master and God himself. Gurudeva is a real friend, dispeller of dark ignorance, and breaker of all ties. Gurudeva is the bestower of Nam, an incantation of which chases away all evils. Gurudeva is the embodiment of peace, truth, and intelligence, and truly a philosopher's stone. Gurudeva is a place of pilgrimage, fountain of the elixir of life and light of reason. Gurudeva ordains everything, destroys sins, and purifies the sinners. Gurudeva is ever eternal from the creation and beginning of each age, and his word has a saving grace. Gurudeva is the greatest gift of God, which, if granted, saves the worst sinners. Gurudeva is Satguru, Parbrahm, and Parameswar. Salutations to him, O Nanak. Gurbani tells of the immense benefit that one enjoys on meeting Gurudev. The five deadly sins, desire, anger, greed, infatuation, and egoism, just vanish. Myriads of karmic impressions of countless ages are destroyed. He pulls a jiva from body and mind consciousness and ushers it into cosmic awareness, where it no longer experiences the fires of the world in which the entire humanity is trapped. Even in the world, all the soul's desires are fulfilled. His course is soft and smooth thereafter, and receives acclamations from every side. In this Kali Yuga, Iron Age, of iniquity and darkness, Gurudev serves as a beacon light on the stormy sea of life, and safely pilots sinners to the heaven of peace and bliss. A saved soul, in its turn, pulls along all who are near and dear to it. The manifestation of Gurudev depends purely on the grace of God and one's special merits in one's progress on the spiritual path. Chapter 19. Perfect Master, Murshid E. Kamil. In order to derive full benefit from Paravidya, science of spirituality, it is absolutely necessary to have the guidance of a living master, or an adept, both in the science and art of spirituality. He must be a Murshid E. Kamil, or perfect saint, who can lead aspirants to perfection. If the blind leads the blind, both fall into the ditch, is a common aphorism too well known to need any comment. There are various grades and stages on the spiritual path. A saint of the highest order alone can safely take the jivas to the pinnacle of spirituality. One who is a novice or has climbed halfway cannot take a jiva to the top. In an educational institution, we see that there are different types of teachers for different classes. In this science also, there are a number of grades and degrees, as for instance, Sad, Sat, and Param Sat. For a proper understanding of the theory and practice of spirituality, we need the help of at least a Sat, or saint. A Sad, one who has successfully transcended the physical, astral, and causal planes, and is above body and mind consciousness, can give us a lead and befit us for further training from a saint. But one who is not yet a sadh cannot be of any help. For complete liberation from the cycle of birth and death, a master saint is necessary. Well, I have come to the end of my time. I was reading from God-Man, chapters 18 through the beginning of chapter 19, leaving off on page 136. Thank you, Master, for everything.
And thank you, Rick, for reading for us. There were 60 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
Thank you for your patient hearing. What I have come to know, I have come for you. It is for you to, for calm consideration, how it appears to you.